Unity of Farmington Hills, a powerful path for spiritual living.
Before you are now. Thank you, music team. Let's give them another hand. Good morning, Unity of Farmington Hills visitors and online viewers. Welcome to our service. I'm Jody Monastro, the platform assistant today, and I will share the announcements and upcoming events with you. If you are a first-time visitor, please take a welcome packet from the usher as you leave the sanctuary. Join us after service today in the social hall for fellowship refreshments and special treats, as always, lovingly prepared for you by our hospitality team. Our next Giving Sunday is on October 13th, and this is your opportunity to show your appreciation and commitment to Unity of Farmington Hills. You can catch up on your tithing or give additionally to our capital campaign. Thank you. Our next Critical Conversations is Monday, October 14th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Through sincere and respectful conversations, these sessions continue to help us better understand and examine our attitudes, our perceptions, and our actions, and also help create a greater awareness of how we see ourselves and one another. This gives us a chance to make a difference in the world. So invite a friend and join us. Find the Zoom link at unityfh.com and click on the Events and Classes page. Join us for our annual Trunk or Treat on Saturday, October 19th from 2 to 4. Put on your costumes, decorate your car, bring individually wrapped candy and treats, and have fun letting children trick-or-treat from your trunk. I am very excited for this. All children are welcome, including grown children. This is a community outreach event, and to donate candy, see Sharon Clays, director of our youth ministry. Please join us Sunday, October 27th at 10 a.m. for a new member service and help welcome our new members as we continue to grow and expand our church community. Movie night returns on Friday, November 1st at 7 p.m. Join us for a delicious spaghetti dinner and the movie Undivide Us. Jonathan Haidt, author of The Righteous Mind, describes the movie Undivide Us in this way. This is a beautiful film about the power of human connection in an age of polarization and division. I think we need something like that. So mark your calendar for this important date. Additional details will follow. There will be a prayer chaplain available after the service today, back by the patio doors, and you may leave your prayer request in the prayer box in the lobby or email that request to prayerchaplains@unityfh.com or call the UFH prayer request line at 248-702-0010. Our guest speaker today is Reverend Dr. Leslie Jackson. She is a Unity minister and spiritual teacher dedicated to guiding individuals and communities towards holistic transformation and spiritual awakening. In addition to her ministry, Reverend Dr. Jackson serves as a higher education and leadership professional where she encourages students, faculty, and leaders to explore spiritual awareness for meaningful growth and change. For more information, visit lesliejackson.com. Welcome, Reverend Jackson. And now, as the music team sings Surely the Presence, let us prepare for our spiritual communion.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the
Well, good morning. And thank you for such a warm welcome. Thank you, Jody, the music team. Let's give them another round of applause, please. So I'm Reverend Dr. Leslie Jackson, and welcome to Unity of Farmington Hills. Welcome to October. This is the month of zeal in Unity. So we are going to take an opportunity today as the first week of October here at Unity of Farmington Hills to celebrate communion. But not with sacraments of bread and wine, but rather in a spiritual sense, with our spiritual presence. And so as we usher in October, we acknowledge the spiritual power of zeal, represented by the disciple Simon the Zealot. The power of zeal is our ability to be enthusiastic, to start, to initiate, and to motivate. The color is orange, and the location in the body, the back of the head. Our affirmation for zeal is, I enthusiastically accept my good and go forward to achieve my purpose. In his book, The Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, wrote, "To establish our acceptance of the Christ, we celebrate Holy Communion within our mind and heart. As we go within to establish our acceptance and our union with the Christ, we will activate deeper realization of the Christ within and activate our zeal. Let us commune in unity through this process of call and response as we receive, acknowledge, and accept spiritual communion. Please direct your attention to the monitor. Let us begin. The Lord's Supper has a place in the Church of Christ in unity. We observe it in spirit. It is the spirit that gives life and understanding. Symbols are useful to the extent that they serve to point us to the realities for which they stand. When understanding and realization of truth are attained, the symbols are no longer necessary. And now I ask you, the congregation, of what is the Lord's Supper a symbol? Your response? How are we transformed by the spiritual meaning of the blood of Christ, Jesus?
By accepting the life of Christ as our own. The blood of Jesus is his life. He came to bring to all of us the knowledge of the abundant, omnipresent life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
How did Jesus say that we should worship God?
God in spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The Lord's Supper is a form of spiritual worship and must be spiritually understood.
How may we spiritually discern the Lord's body? How do we spiritually eat his body and drink his blood? How may we spiritually prepare ourselves for communion with our Lord?
We may spiritually prepare ourselves by affirming deeply with realization, my heart is right with God, my mind is deluded and wicked by the Holy Spirit.
And now let us take a moment to place our attention on the back of our head, our place of zeal, as we affirm the quickening of zeal within us. Please receive this affirmation. My ability to be enthusiastic and passionate to start, to initiate, and motivate is aligned with Christ. Feel that deeply. The activity that stirs and begins at the back of the head and moves throughout your entire being. I will continue. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Now we will say this next part softly with deep awareness of these words. Together.
I now spiritually partake of spiritual substance.
As I
go within my heart and mind to affirm oneness with the spiritual ideas of God, I now realize that the Christ body is being formed in my consciousness. I am radiant, living substance. Every cell of my body is alive.
And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Blood is life, the spiritual energy of Christ. And we are affirming this energy which expresses through us as it pours out for many. Let us now affirm softly together. I now spiritually drink of the life of Christ as I concentrate on spirit and activity of God's truth within my heart and mind. I feel the creative power of life more abundantly.
I am in Christ,
one with the living God. I am that I am. Let's repeat that. I am that I am. Let's close together. We consecrate ourselves through recognizing our purpose to bear witness to the truth, only to speak truth, to hear truth, to see truth of our understanding and ability. In this way, in the work of the Christ dwelling in us. Thank you, God. Amen. You have activated your awareness of the divine within, and with it, the power of zeal. With zeal, enthusiasm, we are here, ready, and awake, are we not?
Yes.
Yes, we are. So I just want to say I'm really excited to be here today with all of you. I want to thank all those folks who came here at 9:30, because I said 9:30. Thank you for all that love. Some of you know me from Renaissance Unity or Radiance, and what you know to be true is that whenever I start on the platform, I begin with a specific declaration. And that declaration is, you are loved, you matter, and we are so glad, I am so glad that you are here. So thank you for being here. So I'm going to start. A man observed a woman in the grocery store with her 3-year-old daughter. As they passed the cookie section, the little girl said, "Mommy, I want cookies." But her mother told her no. The little girl immediately began to whine and fuss, and the mother quietly said, "Now, Anna, we just have half of the aisles left to go. Don't get upset. It won't be long." Soon they came to the candy aisle, and the little girl began to shout, "I want candy!" But no. And when she couldn't have it, she began to cry. The mother said, "Okay, Anna, only 2 more aisles, and then we're checking out." Finally, when they get to the checkout, you know what's at the checkout, the little girl saw her favorite, bubble gum, and began to plead and beg, which soon turned into a full-blown temper tantrum. Once again, the mother patiently said, "Anna, we'll be through the checkout in less than 5 minutes, and then we can go home and have a nice nap." Well, the man was so impressed with the mom and took the opportunity to pay her a compliment. "I couldn't help but notice how patient you were with little Anna." Whereupon the mother said, "I'm Anna. My little girl's name is Mary." So, now if only we could be so adept at drawing on our inner strength and calling for that inner peace like Anna did, right? Particularly when we get into those moments that are difficult or charged. My talk today is entitled, "The Knock." The inner path to lasting peace. Don't we all want and need a little bit more of that? Amen. Every situation is an opportunity to practice calling on and for peace. But often, we are wrestling with the discomfort, distracted by appearances and conditions, which we then tend to hold on to. We get swept away by that untimely flat tire, or that disgruntled customer or coworker, or even all the political infighting. Often, we get so entangled, so distracted, and so pulled into what's going on in the outer world and in our problems. And then when we finally seek an answer, we seek it first out there, rather than turning inward. In fact, we are socialized to look out there, believing that if only the situation would change, or if only the other person would change, then I'd be happy then. But does that really work? Does that really work? Because, or does just another body with a different face in the same situation walk back through the door? And that's what typically happens. We often give our faith and our favor to the things that we see. So we say things like, I'll believe it when I see it, or when you change, then I'll change. But this is the outer path. And if you think about it, for many of us, this is what we've learned as it relates to Jesus as well. The focus is typically on what he did and what was done to him rather than what he taught. Apostle Paul's declaration found in Philippians 2, verses 5, says, "Let the mind be in you that was in Jesus, putting the focus on how Jesus saw, how he thought, and what he taught. Jesus was a radical teacher, then and now, and a master of consciousness. His consciousness was being and then doing. He consistently pointed to the inner kingdom, what he referred to as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, a central theme in his teachings. But how many of us have heard the interpretation of the kingdom of heaven likened to an outer orientation? For example, to find that earthly utopia or that place in a distant after you die, but only if you've been good. But Jesus negated both of these notions, in fact. To the earthly utopia, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Nor did he speak of a distant place that we retire to solely upon death. Instead, Matthew begins his account of Jesus' ministry by saying, "From the time Jesus began to preach his message, turn away from your mistaken thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's Matthew 17. And at hand means right here and right now. Jesus said in Luke 7:21, "The kingdom of God is where? Within you." The kingdom of God is within you. Thus, you don't die to it, you awaken to it. Jesus also says, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven," Matthew 6:33, meaning that the realization of the kingdom of heaven is a goal, is the priority, is the principal goal and focus. But again, often our goals are getting to an outer place or an outer position or those outer things. That's not bad, not wrong. However, Jesus and wisdom teachers throughout the ages equate the kingdom of heaven not with a place or a position, but as a state of consciousness. It is a consciousness that wisdom traditions and teachings refer to as non-dual or unitive consciousness. In unity, we call it Christ consciousness, which is not based on ideals of separation, but in the acknowledgement of one presence and one power. Now, on the other hand, ego consciousness interprets things through separation. So, for example, good versus bad, right and wrong, hot and cold. And all of these things are great for experiencing as a human in the body, experiencing life, learning about life. The ego's primary job, by the way, is to create an identity or an I entity, a very unique and special but separate self. And it does its job well. So when we become aware and believe in ourselves as this identity or I entity, we experience ourselves as separate. As a separate being with very distinct qualities and very distinct attributes. So, for example, when I introduce myself, I say, "I am Reverend," quality, attribute, "Dr. Leslie," woman, "loves chocolate." Yeah, I love the chocolate. "Loves the Detroit Lions." Go Lions. These are all identifiers, though. We identify ourselves as separate beings by using and listing and putting on identifiers. But these identifiers separate. Now, Jesus points beyond that. He points beyond the binary system of attributes and identity and back to this oneness or this sense of wholeness so that we can overcome our troubles, overcome these positions and situations of separateness. That is a present and a natural path. So when I was in my doctoral program, I was a teaching assistant for a very brilliant sociologist and cultural commentator, Dr. Philip Slater, and he wrote a book called The Chrysalis Effect. The Chrysalis Effect. And so I'm going to use The Chrysalis Effect, this book that he talks about. We'll use this as a beautiful metaphor and do some... I'm going to read a little bit from the introduction and provide a more metaphysical interpretation. So here we go. A caterpillar happily eats its way through the leaves that surround it, consuming hundreds of times its own weight daily. So I want you to see that this consumption that the caterpillar is taking on is the conditioning. These are all the things that we learn, that we take in, that we're socialized to believe, right? Like focusing on the outside first, or I'm a separate being from you. Then one day, it, the caterpillar, slows down and begins spinning a chrysalis. The chrysalis is a natural process, a latent process. I liken that to our spiritual DNA. It's there. Tiny new cells, what scientists call imaginal cells, now begin to appear in the caterpillar, and they start to multiply. So I want you to think of the imaginal cells as those experiences of truth, of spiritual awareness and awakening, a hint that there's something more, there's something beyond. The caterpillar's immune system, or ego, also known as resistance, reacts to these new cells as foreign, as a disease, as a threat, and quickly attacks those imaginal cells. Now, this is like the ego mind, desiring to continue its belief in separation, or othering, or something other than what it truly is. But more and more imaginal cells appear and begin to link themselves together. So if we see this as our spiritual awareness, right? And we can cultivate our spiritual consciousness, our awareness through spiritual practice, through reading, through coming together like we've done here today, where we recognize the spiritual truth. Finally, the caterpillar's immune system, the ego, is overwhelmed. And the caterpillar is liquefied. In other words, the beliefs, the conditioned habits, all those things we've been conditioned into, the thoughts of separation, begin to dissolve and dissipate. The imaginal cells then recycle the liquefied mess or mass into a new entity. And what would that entity be? A butterfly. Now, I want to emphasize that God uses everything. Everything. The chaos, the conflicts, the problems, the mess, the goo, all of that. All of that is part of the transformation available and possible from Christ, from that ego consciousness to the Christ consciousness. And in this caterpillar has held the blueprint for the butterfly all along. All along. We forget that sometimes even when we think about Jesus. We forget that when Jesus is speaking, he's not speaking as an identity, Jesus of Nazareth. He's speaking as Jesus the Christ, the expression of Christ energy or consciousness, which is his true spiritual nature and ours. So let's look more closely. The butterfly and the caterpillar live in the same world, the same one. But it is not the outer world that changes. That's usually where we go to first. Let's change the outer world. But that is not what changes. It is the creature representing our consciousness. The caterpillar goes into the chrysalis and comes back out into the same world, but with a different consciousness, a different perspective. Again, the world doesn't change, but the creature's consciousness, and subsequently its relationship to the world is what changes. And this is the inner path. So basically, the caterpillar adopts butterfly values as it prepares to transform. It hears a call. That's where that transformation starts. It hears a knock, a desire to change. What in you is wanting to change? What in you is knocking right now for you to level up, to fly rather than crawl or walk? And are you fearing that change? Because I understand that the mental, the physical, the emotional turmoil that happens when we rub up against the change, something new is wanting to be born in us, but those old conditioned habits are rubbing up against that. But again, I said that God uses everything. This friction, yes, it often creates a sense of discomfort within us. But at the same time, that discomfort causes us to question the validity of those old conditioned beliefs and habits. In education, we call that transformative learning. There's a moment, there's a spark when, ooh, this doesn't feel right. I was taught this, but I'm experiencing that. This consideration allows something to open into us, something for new possibilities. Now, sometimes when this happens, we are driven to our knees in prayer. We are humbled to ask for help. And ladies and gentlemen, I call this the easy way, because there is another way. There's another way. Sometimes we cling to our caterpillar ways, those old thoughts and behaviors as the egos resist. So in chapter 12 of the Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's curriculum, it says that the ego's plan is to seek but do not find. And it does that by blaming, shaming, doubting, fearing, fixing you, focusing on what's wrong, looking on the outer path. In the Course in Miracles, it says, yet the ego, though encouraging the search for love, very actively makes one proviso, do not find it. Its dictates then can be summed up simply as seek and do not find. This is one of the promises that the ego holds out to you and to me, and the one promise it will keep. But if you read further, it also says the Holy Spirit offers you another promise, and one that will lead to joy. For his promise is always seek and you will find, and under his guidance, you cannot be defeated. Put another way, in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. But here is the twist, ladies and gentlemen, because there's always a twist. The great poet Rumi wrote, knocking at the door, it opens. I've been knocking from the inside. Knocking at the door, it opens. I've been knocking from the inside. The nature of the knock. So when we think about knocking, we often envision someone on the outside seeking entry, right? But what does it mean to find that you are knocking from the inside? You're knocking so that you can get in, right? But once the door opens, you realize that you're already there. You're already in. You're already that, Dorothy. I'm a Wizard of Oz fan. That knock often represents our yearning, our desire, as I said before, the callings that we feel, a desire to be whole. And we each have those voices in us calling for that. Sometimes we have problems recognizing the door, though. Because we're in our busyness of our life, and we overlook the door that leads to this inner peace and this fulfillment, because we're focusing on the fear of the future or the pain of the past. In other words, we are believing that we are on the wrong side of the door. But as we acknowledge our conditioned beliefs and habits of separation and not enoughness as the barriers, we can begin to trust that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, even if you're the one holding the weapon, holding the door shut, or believing that you're standing on the other side of it. Jesus understood that the ego and our relationship with its thinking is strong. It has a really strong grip. We've had years and years and years of being conditioned and socialized about being a woman or a man or black or white or poor. That's poured into us. But he used parables as a means to challenge the conditioned beliefs of the ego. So the parables aren't these like sweet little stories. They're there to activate the butterfly within. So let me give you an example. The parable of the rich young man. A man approaches Jesus and asks, "How do I inherit an eternal life?" That's the knock. Jesus tells him that you do so by keeping the commandments, and then he proceeds to indicate several of these, including love yourself as your neighbor. That is Jesus speaking to the Christ consciousness. That's the Christ consciousness. He's bringing us back to the inner kingdom. "Well, all these things I've kept," the young man said, "what do I still lack?" Now, is that not what the ego would say? Wouldn't the ego say, yeah, I'm a good person, I go to church, I didn't flip that person off today, I could have, I'm here. The body, mind, ego, not enough thinking has just joined the conversation, ladies and gentlemen, posing as a seeker of truth, but not really wanting to find it. And so Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, or metaphysically speaking, to perfect living a life beyond separation, dualistic thinking, and instead seeing as love and from Christ consciousness, go sell your possessions. All right. Most people run out of the door at this point, right? Folks lose it. So, okay, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You mean that I got to give up my house, give up my car, give up my relationships, give up all my stuff? Isn't that kind of where most people in this parable start to react? Like, even the rich man said, hold up a second. But with Jesus, the emphasis is not that you have to give up all your things, or not that you even have to disappear in some cave in the mountains and sit in lotus position for 12 years meditating. That's not it. But rather, what he's saying that is necessary is that you must give up your attachment to the belief, the consciousness that those things are your source or your identity or you. He's pointing attention not to the outer path, but to the inner kingdom. And yes, it is said on purpose in a way that startles your ego. Shook. What? I got to give up my stuff? Because. But now we know there's the ego. Because if you believe that those outer trappings are your source, that they are who you are, then one, you are reinforcing and enmeshing yourself with a false identity. I'm just a caterpillar. Two, believing that you can be separate, that you can separate yourself from the truth of who you are, which in the Course of Miracles, that it caused that attack on yourself, which you then perpetuate on other people. And three, making you poor in spirit, meaning you are not focused on spiritual being or from that Christ consciousness, but living at the effect of the ego consciousness. And that can be scary. So the chrysalis is the time of dissolving the beliefs that we have attached ourselves to, believing that we're just simply an ego mind, that I'm just simply a body, that I'm just simply here at the effect of the world. It's about moving the shape into the shapelessness, from the caterpillar even through the goo, until you get to a place where you can fly, which is a spiritual metaphor for your spiritual nature. So, folks, we can either focus on what we've been through and fixate on our problems and on what everybody else should be doing and how it should be done and how they're not doing this or that, or we can embrace the butterfly values and thoughts that are already within us. That's the option. Now, I know that Reverend Kelly has been teaching on Revelations here, which talks about breaking seals, for example. The ideas that we believe that are holding the door shut to us, we have to break that seal. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Because the truth is, you are already inside. God is with you. Dorothy, you are already home. So I am going to leave with a final joke. A few years ago, a butterfly was going through the airport and passing through immigration. And the immigration officer said, I need to see your passport. So the butterfly, of course, produced their passport. And there on the picture was a photo of a caterpillar. So the immigration officer said, wait, hang on a second. This doesn't look like you. So the butterfly says, it's an old photo. Let's let that be our story. I'd like to invite the music team to come up when they're ready. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a test. We can see it. We can see it. This is not a test. We all are being called higher and deeper. And it's important that we raise our consciousness to that height. Because peace is not a behavior. It's not a behavior, folks. It's a consequence of answering the call, the knock, opening the door. Oh, that's a good knock. That's a good knock. I love it. Knocking. Opening the door and recognizing that you are already home in the consciousness of love and joy and peace. So I want to invite you to close your eyes now and just take a deep breath. I want you to feel the I am presence. And some folks say, what is that? That is that pulsation that you feel of being alive. I am alive. I am, I, consciousness, exist. Before anything follows that am is the I of consciousness. The one presence, the one power, it is the foundation of our being. And we could not be conscious walking around breathing without it. One presence, one power. Say it with me. One presence, one power. Again, one presence, one power. As you move through this week, pause in any given moment and pay attention to this feeling of being alive, the pulse, the sensation that is the divine. Feel it. Allow it to radiate. And then give thanks. No spiritual gymnastics. Just present to the presence with gratitude. Let us pray. We feel the presence of the I am, a place of life, of being, of existence, the one presence and one power. As we tune into the divine I am presence, we settle into comfort and peace, endearing, enveloping, embracing us all, opening our heart into this pure awareness. Let us breathe out what is not for our highest and best good. And in this presence, we release all worry, all doubt, all fear, all pain. As we sink into the pure radiance of peace. I am peace, peacefully being peace. We are peace. Peacefully being peace. Despite what we may hear or see in the coming days and weeks in this country and around the world, peace. Breathing that in fully, we breathe into the realization and with gratitude. Yes, and thank you. Because peace is the perfume of being in the presence. Thank you. We feel this presence and this peace permeating every cell, every thought, every action and reaction to come. We are grateful as this peace imbues all moments and all matters, extending outward to all beings. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Thank you for having me. God bless.
The Reverend Dr. Leslie Jackson, thank you so much. Thank you so much. What a great message. All right, it's time. We're going to transport ourselves back to 1970. What were you doing in 1970? I was a toddler in 1970. Actually, I was a baby. I'm sure there are some. Let's do this.
I love it. Oh, happy day. Thank you so much for that. So now is the time for our offering blessing. Fill into your heart and acknowledge the blessings of and from this beautiful community and give what you feel led. Please take your offerings in your hand and let us affirm our love offering blessing together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I give, and all that I receive.
Thank you, God.
Amen. There will be an usher near the back of the sanctuary door here at the back of the hall after service to receive donations. For online givers, please go to unityfm.com. Or you can mail checks to Unity of Farmington Hills at 32500 West 13 Mile Road, Farmington Hills, Michigan 48334. And Reverend Kelly has asked me to thank you all, each and every one of you, for the tithing of your time, of your talent, and your treasures. I just want to also again thank everyone for having me here today.
It's just for the people online, so they can hear.
Oh, you. Okay, online. We just acknowledge this fabulous music team and our fabulous speaker for today. I'm here to introduce our volunteer for the month of October. So, Barry, where are you? Come on up. This is Barry Thompson. Give her a hand. Barry is one of the first people you see as you walk into the door on Sunday mornings. She's there to greet you with a beautiful smile and good morning and offer you your name tag. If you're a visitor, she'll give you a visitor's name tag. But anyway, Barry is a volunteer not only as a greeter or usher, she's also a steward, and she can tell you some of the things that she's done and how long she's been here. But we're so very grateful for your service, and we appreciate you. So here's Barry. And just a little token of appreciation. You can say whatever you choose to say.
Thank you, thank you. It's a pleasure always to be at Unity of Farmington Hills. Say it again. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. It's always a pleasure being here. I look forward to coming to Unity of Farmington Hills, not only on Sundays, but on the other thing, occasions that they have. Thank you again.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, can we please rise so we can do our prayer for protection? Are we ready? The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
Praise God, there's peace on earth. I know it. With every step I take.
joining us. Have a wonderful week. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to this Unity of Farmington Hills podcast. We hope this has encouraged you, inspired you, and uplifted you. If you are unable to attend our Sunday gatherings but would still like to support our spiritual community, visit our giving page, unityfh.com/donate.